the kind of downward motion, just to give us like some spatial metaphor, that will give us the downward motion towards the words. That will tell us how the words are arranged. The picture theory will give us the upward motion, how those words refer to the world and get their sense, right? Or get their truth, truth or false, what Wittgenstein calls their truth functionality or correspondence. So let's begin by exploring the early part of the twos and the relationship between objects and states of affairs. So I'm going to read, we're going to skip the ones starting at two. So proposition two, what is the case of fact is the existence of states of affairs. Now, 2.01 follows immediately. And this is part of why my professor says don't take the numbering system too seriously, because what does 2.01 mean? Is it less than 2.1? Is it more than 2.? Anyway, let's not get distracted, but again, it's a heuristic device. It's for organizing it. 2.01 gives us the relationship between states of affairs and objects. A state of affairs, a state of things, is a combination of objects. So a state of affairs is a combination of objects. Now, that combination of objects, we could put in a strict sense, like a necessarily strict sense. So much so that I would say that it's useful to think of objects as necessarily combinatory, right? So if you want, so let's think about, if you want to understand what a state of affairs is, and let's give an example. So Wittgenstein would say that an example of a state of affairs would be something like a triangle, right? Or a car, or, you know, I'm drinking tea right now, so like a cup of tea or something like that, right? If we have any given single thing, like a state of affairs, the question is, well, what is it a combination of? And why is that combination necessary, right? The best way to think of this is think of really simple states of affairs. So think of like a triangle or a circle or a cube or something like that, just something really elementary. Objects. So what is a state of affairs a combination of? It's a combination of objects, but the objects are necessarily combinatory. So think about colors, right? If you see any triangle in the world, one that you could, you know, verify is there, whether it's true or false, that that state of affairs has properties, what we would call properties or like metaphysical properties, right? So it has, like, if you really look at a triangle and you really see it, it has color. No matter what it is drawn as, is it, you know, whether it's an empty triangle, well, it's drawn with some kind of marker, you know, or you draw with a pencil. It exists, maybe you only draw one, but it has quantity, right? As one, right? It has a duration because it started existing and it will cease to exist at some point. So it has all of these different, what Wittgenstein calls fields, right? So it has a space field because it takes up a certain amount of space. It has a time field because it has a certain duration. It's in the color field because it necessarily has to have a color. It has a size. It might even have, you know, other sensory things, like you might draw it with a crayon and crayon smells kind of waxy or something like that. But the important thing to realize about the logic of objects is that they are necessarily combinatory. We tend to think of color as something, you know, something that is like a property that gets attached to things. But if you really try to imagine color, you know, we tend to think of it as like a patch, but that patch exists in space. So it's not the pure color, right? Whereas like, okay, well, what about just like the pure space behind the color? Okay, well, you can't imagine the pure space unless you have something that's in it to give that space field.
Well, it's like even the example when it's like, you know, people sometimes say like, oh, imagine nothing, or imagine like empty space. Generally, like kind of the classic cliche vision of that is like endless whiteness, right? Like, it's that kind of, you know, the beyond. That's still a thing of properties.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, combinatory, like, right?
Yeah.
It's necessarily combinatory. So you are imagining it as a combination of space with, like, an indefinite value and color, you know, white, which is, like, kind of indefinite because it's all of the colors, but also it's none of them because it kind of, like, can't... You're trying to imagine something, but anything that you can imagine at all, any state of affairs that can correspond to the world or be in the world is a combination of these objects, right? So that's kind of the... Like, that's the first really important thing. It's the frustrating thing about Wittgenstein is that he is not very good at, like, pointing up this combinatory relationship until later on when he's talking about the picture theory or, you know, elementary propositions being in combination in a proposition. So it's just really, and I think, too, because it's really counterintuitive, but Wittgenstein is trying to be counterintuitive because, again, it was our common sense intuitions that led into things like Russell's paradox. Now, the other thing to realize about states or about objects and their combination in states of affairs is that, so objects are not properties of states of affairs, right? Objects exist in the abstract. So we see a red triangle, and we can only get to objects by abstracting to red, right? Because we've never seen red, or we've never seen triangle without a color, or we've never seen space unoccupied, right? So those objects aren't real. The objects don't correspond to anything except in combination, right? So they don't exist. They are conceptually potential, but they only exist as actuality in states of affairs. That's the important
thing. Yeah, they only exist. There's no you know, like, bare circle, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, almost like this sort of, like, Platonic form, yeah, of the circle, right? Like, yeah, this is what, as you're saying, this is, these objects, these particular things are always going to be built into stuff that, again, if I go better saying it, makes sense, yeah, right? Like a web that then makes up, you know, a state of affairs.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the other thing that is, before we move on to the picture theory, the other thing that's really important to understand about these combinations is it goes back to what I was saying about the combinatorial nature of objects. Since objects aren't really real, they don't really have a nature, so we're already kind of speaking nonsense when we say the combinatorial nature of objects, which is why I'm anticipating for the listener, the first rung is already us kicking down the ladder. If you know what Wittgenstein does, he wants you to kick down the ladder because the whole Tractatus is nonsense. Objects are nonsense, but they constitute states of affairs, and that constitution is not metaphysical, right? So he says that 2.03, in a state of affairs, objects fit into one another like the links of a chain. So there's no metaphysical glue holding these things together, right? When you see a red triangle, there isn't some thing holding redness and triangleness and quantity and duration together. It's just that redness can only exist, be real, as a combination of these things. So there doesn't need to be anything holding them together, right? I think that's going to be really important when we are trying to understand the nature of relations later on, because essentially Wittgenstein wants to say that, I mean, he says it's his fundamental idea that relation is not a thing. It's just the way that things hang together. It's the way that the constituent parts relate. That is objects and states of affairs. Now, the other thing that... So the next kind of step that we make is... So let's go back to what Wittgenstein is doing with sense and nonsense, right? Wittgenstein wants to understand the conditions of things making sense. redness is does not make sense. You can't imagine it, and you've never seen it, so it doesn't make sense. They only show themselves in states of affairs, right? However, what's really interesting is that despite the fact that this redness, this triangularity makes sense in a state of affairs, the proposition red triangle doesn't make sense. So if I just say red triangle, that doesn't assert anything about it. It doesn't even assert the existence of it. So we can't check the world for just the proposition red triangle. We can only check the world for a proposition like I have a red triangle on my desk, or, you know, my tea is still quite full, or something like that. This is what is a bit paradoxical and why Wittgenstein thinks that he has a ladder going up, right? The objects don't make sense, but they only make sense in a state of affairs. Wait, but the state of affairs doesn't make sense. It only makes sense in a fact, right? Wait, but a fact also doesn't make sense because that only makes sense in reference to the world, right? Wait, but the world, you know, so it's just, you go on, you go up and up and up. Now, the next place that Wittgenstein takes this is his picture theory. Now, I want to say that the, because this was something that kind of came up in my class when I was exploring it, or when we were going through the picture theory. Wittgenstein himself does not use the term picture theory, so do not ask what this is a theory of. I would suggest, if I could revise the scholarship, I would call this a picture, because Wittgenstein wants to say that Wittgenstein wants to give a picture of the way that propositions get their truth or falsity. And it is like the way that we hold up a picture to the world and see if they correspond, right? So this is not a, there's nothing theoretical about this. This is a picture about the way, this is a picture of how language works. And the picture is, it's like pictures. So I think the reflexivity of that was probably quite appealing to Wittgenstein, that there's something ultimate or conclusive about this picture if it's a picture about pictures. And we can get ourselves out of a lot of, you know, deadlocks. We don't have to ask like, whoa, well, aren't theories verifiable themselves? So what's going on? It's like, no, this is not what's going on. This is how he says propositions get their truth or falsity, right? And they do that by combining states of affairs. So, say, for example, because remember I said states of affairs themselves don't make sense, right? Like red triangle, you can't assert anything about it. It's just, it essentially becomes an object for the purpose of a
red triangle, you know, blue ball, big elephant, whatever it's going
to
be.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's not until we relate two states of affairs together that we get what Wittgenstein calls a fact, right? Or we want to say something about something that we get what is called what Wittgenstein calls a proposition, or sometimes a fact, right?
So, for example, like, you know, the big elephant dribbles the blue ball.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one famous example that drove Bertrand Russell up the wall, apparently, one time, and it's quite famous, where there's a plastic hippopotamus in our classroom now because of it, but Wittgenstein said that it is a fact that a hippopotamus is in this room, and Bertrand Russell was like, what does that mean? And Wittgenstein kept saying it, and Bertrand Russell just like tearing out cabinet drawers, and there's no hippopotamus in here. But Wittgenstein is making a different point than asserting that a hippopotamus is in this room. Him saying hippopotamus in this room, again, makes sense independent of whether it's true or false, right? In Wittgenstein's language, and I think he's being a bit, I think he's like using the word fact as a piece of jargon in his own system. But for him, a fact doesn't have to be true or false, right? A fact just pictures the world in a certain way.
A fact doesn't have to be true or false, in the sense of, like, we think of facts today as, like, you know, like, you know, when we talk, we're living in this post-fact world it's going to be, people are talking about, like, the people kind of use fact and truth synonymously.
Yeah.
Whereas Wittgenstein is saying, no, a fact is something that can have a truth value attributed to it.
Exactly. But you understand.
We're not actually concerned with the truth value.
Not yet, at least. Because that's not until we have a truth function, right? And the point that Wittgenstein is pointing up with that is that, again, I'm being, you know, not, I hope I'm not being repetitive, but Wittgenstein is also repetitive in this way. He is saying, look, you understand what a hippopotamus is in this room means before you know the truth or falsity. Like, look at Bertrand Russell. He's pulling out his drawer cabinets and throwing the curtains open. He understands how to go about verifying this proposition. So he understands the fact, right? And the fact depicts, as Wittgenstein's picture goes, a proposition depicts a state of affair, or it depicts a fact. States of affairs are a common combination to make facts, and then those facts are like, or a proposition is like a picture that shows what the world would have to be like if this proposition were true, right? So you can understand what I mean when I was painting this picture earlier of states of objects and their states of affairs go down, right? They combine kind of the non-real sort of abstract objects and relate them in ways that they can only be real, right? Whereas the picture goes upward, because you can only get the truth or falsity of this picture by comparing it to the world, right? And at every stage that you need to determine the truth or falsity of something, you are always comparing it to the world. So, like, later on when he's talking about not just like pictures and facts, so like the hippopotamus is in the room, but any kind of complicated proposition, you're always checking it against the world for its truth or falsity. Whereas the sense is always a function of whether certain things make sense to combine, right? This is actually, this slipped my mind a little bit, but it's actually really important to bring up, because we were talking about nonsense propositions before. One of the important things for Wittgenstein is that objects can only combine in certain combinations, right? So you can't have a monochromatic blue and red ball, right? You can't have a four-sided triangle, right? You can't have a frozen flame. You can't have a, you know, you can't, I'm trying to think of like, so like, let's just like take some object, like, you get it, right? Objects only, there's only a certain combination of objects that are possible, right? So blue, red can't combine together, but blue triangle can, right? This landscape that gets carved out of all the possible combination of objects, Wittgenstein would call logical form, right? This, like, the space within which sense is possible.
Yeah, logical form is all the basically the full set of the way in which objects can actually connect with each other.
Exactly, yeah.
And that, whether or not they're actually part of anything that's in reality or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it is literally just the basically symbolic structure.
Exactly, yeah. It's the symbolic structure that prefigures all the possibilities of sense, right? And it's for this reason that, again, that downward motion of language makes sense prior to its comparison with the world for its truth or falsity. There are certain combinations of language that make sense. Now, just like how objects come together in a state of affairs to make sense, states of affairs come together in facts to make sense. Certain states of affairs don't make sense to combine, right? So, like, say you throw wood into a fire and it doesn't get consumed. Or, well, yeah, like, that fact of it persisting in its being wood does not make sense in relation to this other fact, right? So you always have this combinatorial, the combinatorial possibilities that carve out logical form are what give things sense prior to their being verified against the world for their truth or falsity. And that works all the way up. So you can see, because we've moved from, okay, well, objects combine in states of affairs combine in facts. Okay, well, certain facts are going to relate into like elementary propositions and as far as names go. And then later on, only certain names will make sense to combine. And then that's where you start getting into like, you know, analyzing ordinary language and stuff like that. So you can see that this combinatorial, the way that the constituents of language combine in order to make sense of language prior to its being verified as true or false runs all the way up. This is why I say that if you understand the relation between objects and states of affairs, then you can get a foothold on, if you can wade through Wittgenstein's terse, cryptic prose, then you can, you kind of have the blueprint for understanding Wittgenstein. It's quite simple, actually. If the logical atomists, if one of the errors that they fall into is that they think that the items of logic are these atomic facts or these things that come together and combine, the error that they make is that the relation between them themselves is a thing, right? So if the cat is on the mat, for a logical atomist, there would be three items there, cat, and then their relation on and mat. Wittgenstein solves this by relying on this combinatorial possibility, right? It's the way that things can and cannot relate to each other that knocks out that third item, right? Because there's nothing that's actually mediating their relationship except for the sense and nonsense of their combining, right? And that's the way that he solves Russell's paradox, essentially.
The combination in that is the cat is on the mat, and the connector on isn't like a thing independent of itself, right? Like people want to split up, you know, a statement and be like, okay, there's all these little parts. And it's like, again, Wittgenstein saying like, look, the fact is that these things are true, like, together, right? And taking them apart, like, drains them effectively of their sensibility.
Yeah, well, you know what it does is it produces metaphysics. That's what Wittgenstein... It produces the problems of philosophy, because now you can ask, well, what is the nature of on-ness?
On, yeah.
Yeah, or with, or in, you know? You have all of these essential, like, metaphysical entities that you can start investigating, but that's to misunderstand the logic of language.
It's, you know, the another example is like going back, and this is like on some level, I think Wittgenstein is dealing with, well, it's a whole problem of philosophy, but it's, you know, a problem of, you know, Platonic forms and stuff like that on some level. It's like, okay, well, like, okay, well, we go back to object triangle, right? Like we've said before, if you just say triangle, then it's like, well, what triangle? Triangle, okay, triangle this triangle that's not actually, and it had, there's no reference. Whereas Wittgenstein's, you know, point is that, look, these things are always going to be in a logical web, and they're always going to be together, and trying to rip them apart, they're going to be together in like sets of possibilities. Right, but trying to split those sets of possibilities apart leads you, like you're saying, into metaphysics, into nonsense, where suddenly you're just going, no, it's not the top of the building is a triangle, or it's not that a triangle has three sides, or it's not that, you know, a hypotenuse or it's, you know, you can't just be like, oh, triangle. No. Right now we're just talking about triangle. It's like that doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah. Well, if you think of it's interesting, I guess because we're almost at the end of this episode, but if you think about the origin in the ancient schools of philosophy, philosophy starts in wonder, just standing in front of something and kind of gazing at it and contemplating it. The Greeks call it thaumatein. Wow, triangle, or the world, you know? So it makes a lot of sense that that kind of experience, that kind of philosophical experience, would lead philosophers down the kind of project that they'd have, because their experience is something beyond words, right? You still can have these experiences, like philosophers do it all the time. I think even in our day-to-day, we do have experiences like, wow, you know, you're walking along and you just see, I mean, I don't know, but there's things we admire in a non...
Well, I think...
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, I think the best example of this, probably for Wittgenstein, or what those school is, would be, like, ethics and morality. Right, like, obviously ethics, morality on some level is a thing that we encounter in, like, forms of life, for back to Black, but I was saying it. Wittgenstein's point would be, I'm getting tripped, this is, it's actually not something that you can make true or false statements about.
Right.
And
the error, right, like, and the error is that we think we can, so we invent this science called ethics, and then we go and try and create all these things, but that's just, that's nonsense.
Yeah, it's basically, like, it's just all, doesn't, it doesn't, none of it actually works. None of it actually works within the, you know, the framework of, you know, the, you know, of, I guess it would be like work look like.
Yeah, it doesn't even work whether you're going real atat or work look. Well, real atat, because you can see, like, that's the whole thing, is the mystical does show itself in the world. You just can't put it in terms of true or false, or in terms of existence and non-existence, because there's only existence in front of you. You can't even use words to construct a non-existent state of, or a non-existent fact of, like, this particular thing. You've been listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm your host, Brandon. I've been joined by Hale. Thank you for listening.
Please email us at hello@philosophyshow.ca. You can find the Canadian Philosophy Show at tcps.podbean.com and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Worrying, trying to get this done in a hurry when the only thing that matters is a vibe itself. As long as that shit's intact, then my mental health stays streamlined. Make a beeline for the vet, pick out a fit, rock the afternoon switch, relax the mind. Digging into this mine is pure gold with the nuggets I don't struggle to find. The silver lining shining between clouds. Tuesday on the creek and I'm living a freestyle. Leather soles creep to the beat I got. Heat up the spot, spring transitional, traditional hop. When I keep this in my vision, I'm hot. Instead of fretting and worrying, I'm betting that I'm getting a lot of all the good issues you earn. And I've learned you gotta keep it habitual, the positive rituals. Lyrical, spiritual, metamucil. I don't need to talk, I already said it twofold. Lyrical, spiritual, metamucil. You don't need to talk, you already said it twofold. With them false rap promises of cats that want to work but can't be honest with reality of commerce, I dash it away. Don't be eating up my passion today, never ration away any sustenance. I do rap to eat plus flap to beat. Bon appetit, here have a treat. Thanks, no problem, you got em. Season opposite of the autumn, birds call. Speaking of which, peace to my man Berta. Praise since back in the days in Van Warta. What y'all doing today? Elevator operate like Esperanza. I do both the rocket great. Chocolate crepes, crepe soul bluchers, crushing blue cheese MCs and producers. Lyrical, spiritual, metamucil. I don't need to talk, I already said it too full. Lyrical, spiritual, metamucil. You don't need to talk, you already said it too full. Right. Amazing scratch.